Three, two, one.
Welcome back, y'all, to Anyone Can Run, the podcast all about cerebral cultivation, aka establishing our marathon mentality both on and off the race course. I am your host, True Bros, aka Gabe, aka the number one Star Wars content creator on planet Earth, and I am an NCCA certified personal trainer, YouTuber, and sneakerhead who specializes in helping clients reach their health and fitness goals. This podcast covers everything new members of the running community need to know to dominate their first race, whether it's a 5K, full marathon, or anything in between. We also discussed how to establish our marathon mindsets, because our journey on the road to Gainesville is just one small part of who we are as individuals. I don't know if y'all heard about this in school, but I distinctly remember, I'm pretty sure it was high school, learning about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, or the hierarchy of human needs. If you've never heard of this concept, I say pop M-A-S-L-O-W, Maslow hierarchy of needs, into the Google machine, and if you're super lazy, just do an image search. Odds are, you'll get a pyramid with five levels returned that looks sort of like the old food pyramid I saw everyone in elementary school referencing. That being said, instead of foods, obviously we're dealing with concepts of motivation or personal growth. In case you're driving or otherwise unable to run a quick Google search, let me break down each section of the pyramid for you. Starting from the bottom, we've got physiological needs such as food, water, housing, clothing, you know, the basic stuff we need as humans to survive. Just above that, we've got safety needs, personal safety, security, your health, your physical well-being, financial security, your job, all that. Those are the first two levels. You've got the basic needs followed by safety slash security. The third level of the hierarchy is love and belonging. So your family and social relationships, your sense of community and connection. Just above love is the fourth level, esteem. Your social esteem, your self-respect, your societal status, recognition, respect of others, respect by others. And the top level, aka the top of the mountain, is the concept of self-actualization. This one's a little more tricky to articulate, but essentially, it means that both your psychological and physiological needs are met, and this allows you to have the opportunity to reach your full potential. We're talking developing critical thinking, creativity, motivation, all that good stuff, which, if you ask me, is pretty much having your marathon mentality in place. We say it regularly during our conversations, but the greatest skill we can develop as healthy and fit human beings is learning how to listen to our body, knowing our physical limits and capacity. We can also add to that, the best skill we can earn from distance running is the ability to focus. I know the concept of a hierarchy of human needs may elicit a groan from those unfamiliar, but let's break it down into terms palatable to everyone, or at least in the vernacular. If you're worried about where your next meal is coming from, is the respect of others and chasing improved social status something you're concerned about? I'd suspect the answer is, maybe tangentially, but it isn't your primary concern, and I know because I've been there, and I can say for one, I did not care about the recognition of others when I was worried about where the next meal was coming from. Obviously, living a healthy and fit lifestyle isn't going to magically solve all your problems. It's not going to put food on your table, provide your residence with electricity, assist with your personal financial situation, you know. It's not really going to do any of that. This is why, even though I alluded to us doing an episode on attaining self-actualization through our health and fitness journey, once I began actually outlining today's episode, That didn't seem like the most appropriate title. Still, we can learn quite a bit about who we are through traversing the road to Gainesville. Today, we're going to unpack how we can truly learn who we are, both mentally and physically, using old Maslow's hierarchy as a framework or outline. Considering the bottom of the pyramid is physiological needs, I think that that's pretty straightforward. Living healthy and fit consists of being hydrated out of our minds, getting enough sleep, engaging in exercise regularly, and being cognizant of what we're eating. If we want to be the best possible version of ourselves, this means, at least to me, that we need to be on our A game both mentally and physically. Since I began working from home about 2 years ago, other than dealing with seasonal allergies, I've been fortunate enough to not catch any seasonal colds or viruses or anything like that. I bring this up because I don't know about y'all, but I can tell if I'm getting sick or coming down with something when two things happen. My appetite disappears and I'm having trouble focusing on anything and everything. It's like my mind is just drifting. When I feel that, that means I know I'm not in for a good time. Same deal when I'm dehydrated, not getting enough sleep, or I'm chomping down on sugary or greasy food for more than one meal every few days. Any and all of the above can lead to my stomach bugging me, to my body just feeling heavy, slow, or lethargic, having to make frequent trips to the restroom, not being able to put forth the level of effort I want in my workouts. You get the idea. If I'm not fueling right, if I'm not doing everything that I'm accustomed to, I don't feel like I'm on my A game, physically, which can, of course, impact the mental aspect. Our conversations here are focused on cultivating our marathon mindsets, becoming aggressive psychomaniacs who are confident in their physical abilities and comfortable in their own skin. However, those topics are mental, philosophical. They're not tangible. Since all of this is going on inside our big, beautiful brains, we need to ensure our mind is firing on all cylinders. Our goal is to learn who we are, but who we are isn't based on how much we can lift, how far we can run, how good we look when we're rocking our sneakers. Nah. The actions we take, the decisions we make, how we choose to react to situations, how we perceive things, that's all a much bigger component of who we are as individuals than just, you know, how much we can lift. The reason I wanted to use the hierarchy of human needs as a framework for our discussion is because when we're talking about these philosophical concepts, if you're not feeling right physically, it can be dang near impossible to devote brain power to much of anything other than how you're feeling. This is why I'm constantly peppering in those qualifying statements regarding circumstances, regarding socioeconomic stuff, having your basic needs met. I know what it's like when you're worried about those basic needs, such as food, water, electricity, and that's not a great spot to be in. Having discussions regarding marathon mindsets when you're dehydrated would, to me, seem trivial. This is all a roundabout way of saying, if your physical needs aren't met and you're pounding down soda and fried food and you're not sleeping and you're feeling terrible physically, odds are this whole concept of living healthy and fit sounds like a bunch of new age junk. I've stated many of my life philosophies over the course of our 50-ish episodes or so, but one of my big ones is don't knock it till you rock it. Try going vegan or cutting out foods with added sugar, going to bed earlier, eliminating all sugary beverages, go for walks in the afternoon, and do all of that for literally 1 week. You'll be surprised how much of a physical difference you'll feel in that short time frame. You ever go for a run and feel absolutely nothing in your stomach? That's feeling light and strong, and it doesn't take long to improve how you're feeling physically, so long as you put forth a little effort. Like we discussed a few minutes ago, obviously, living a healthy and fit lifestyle doesn't do everything. Unless you're a professional athlete or a full-time Instagram influencer, I'm guessing being able to knock out high-mileage hitters regularly isn't bolstering your financial situation, and that's quite all right. I bring this up because now we're moving on to the second level of our bro Maslow's hierarchy, and that's security. That comes in many forms, such as financial, health, physical. And while being a psychomaniac gym rat may not tick all those boxes, it can certainly assist with some. As a reminder, I'm a personal trainer. I'm not a doctor or a medical professional. I always like to bring that up whenever we're talking about anything health related. We've touched on this in one of our recent episodes, but I don't want to have any physical ailments in 15 or 20 years, which were directly caused by my actions today. Obviously, things happen and our bodies change as we age, and I'd imagine much of that is out of our control. But I've known many friends and family members who had conditions which were at the very least exacerbated by their lifestyle. Now, I ain't just making this up. I've had them tell me to my face that their doctor told them they need to avoid certain foods, exercise more, blah, blah, blah. Essentially, kick off their journey on the road to Gainesville. I don't know if it's the time period I grew up in, the area, the socioeconomic environment, or whatever, but I was accustomed to hearing a bit of an adversarial or contentious relationship between my elders and their doctors. Anyone who knows me in real life or has swung by any of our live streams, I'm all about not listening to people telling me how to live my life. But I'm also not a dummy. I know my body like no one else on planet Earth, but I'm also not a medical professional. I know how to change the tires on my car and refill fluids, but I couldn't make an in-depth repair if something happened to an axle or the engine or what have you. I know my areas of expertise, and I have no qualms admitting when something is outside of my wheelhouse. When my doctor told me I needed to drop some pounds, and I already knew that because I was feeling less than stellar while working out, I mean, I heed that advice and I get to work. When I think of the concept of security, it's primarily tied to my long-term health. But we can get a little more basic with that concept. I'm talking muscular strength and endurance, and although my days of actively boxing with other people are long behind me, I still routinely perform boxing workouts. I used to get hit in the face as part of training, and I sure as heck ain't ever doing that again, but I've tons of friends and clients who love engaging in MMA-style training, mixed martial arts style. I may be past the age where I want to get hit in the face recreationally, but there's certainly nothing wrong with engaging in that type of training. Obviously, it has its drawbacks, but, I mean, so do a lot of other forms of exercise. It's great for cardio, muscular strength, and endurance, and it can certainly help you develop skills for self-defense, which in turn can help develop some self-confidence. While I may be at the age where I'm viewing my conscious decisions to engage in exercise and eat healthy as deposits in my long-term health bank, it's important we maintain perspective of how our health and fitness journey impacts all aspects of our lives. So those were the first two sections of the pyramid. So as we move on to the next section, which is love and belonging, which is in turn followed by self-esteem, we're getting into more psychological needs. That being said, don't forget, we can't even begin to discuss these more cerebral or philosophical concepts when we're worried about our physiological needs. This is why it's of the utmost importance we focus on being the best possible physical versions of ourselves by fueling intelligently and engaging in exercise whenever we can. Doing this enables us to fire on all cylinders physically, which in turn enables our mind to do the same. All right, back to the topic at hand. The love and belonging section of the pyramid, which serves as the foundation for self-esteem. I know these are two separate elements, but each of these, I mean, come on, they're intertwined. Like we say all the time, experience is the foundation of confidence. Don't get it twisted. I'm no relationship or social expert, but you've undoubtedly heard me mention this at some point in one of our previous conversations. I vehemently believe a severe lack of self-confidence is a prevalent problem in our society. And I know that's like old man shaking his hand at clouds, but it's absolutely something I believe. Now, again, I'm no relationship expert or psychologist or what have you. And I always like reiterating that when I'm about to state something that I know could be misconstrued in some professional way. The way I see it, you can't build healthy and strong relationships with others if you don't have one with yourself. While I understand the thought process behind the concept of relationships with others and love and belonging serving as the foundation to bolster one's self-esteem, I think it kind of goes the other way around. Esteem entails things such as status, respect, recognition, strength. To my non-professional psychologist ears, all of those sound like concepts that come from external factors. As longtime listeners of our little slice of the interwebs know by now, we're all about focusing on ourselves and being the best possible human we can be, both mentally and physically. Trying to garner social status, public recognition, the respect of others, to me, putting too much stock in any of those is a fool's errand, as you've no control over any of those. Like we've touched on many times before, if I were measuring the quote-unquote success of our podcast based on our reach, our raw numbers, the revenue being generated from this, by any of those metrics, this would be a catastrophic failure, as creating these conversations is a fair investment of both time and creative effort on my part, and I don't really get any type of compensation from this. At least, you know, external compensation. For a long time, I struggled with reconciling my success, whether that be professional or creative, with these traditional metrics, such as money, titles, visibility, all that kind of stuff. Now that I've shifted the goal or my personal measure of success to be maintaining a level of quality I find acceptable, I personally feel much more fulfilled, much more satisfied. That's why I say I don't get compensated externally, but I get that self-satisfaction from seeing the work get completed to the best of my ability. The same thing when it comes to money, because obviously I could certainly use more. Early in my career, my professional career, my frustration with being able to afford the basics such as food, rent, bills, all of that, man, it was palpable. Now that I'm able to afford those necessities and still have a little leftover time and money to get what I consider luxuries, such as streaming services, shoes, video games, I can take a moment to step back and realize that the onus was on me to shift that mindset. There's a stark difference between the feelings of being content and complacent. The goal is always to improve and be better than we were yesterday. Whether that be in our outlook, how we're feeling physically or mentally, how we're choosing to spend our time, how we react to all things, all of that. It's just to be better and improve in some way. The second we stop trying to improve, I think that we become complacent. And that's not somewhere I ever want to be. I never want to feel as if the wheels are spinning on a road to nowhere, because I feel that having goals, both short-term and long-term, are critical to the concept of personal progression or growth or self-improvement. That being said, we've talked about it before, how, at least for me, it's been very easy to get too focused on the future, to get too focused on what's next, and to be so deep in the forest as you've lost the trees or whatever that expression is. Like, too deep in the forest, you can't see the trees. But what I mean by this is it's so easy to get so focused on the future that you get to the point where you end up not realizing how good things are. Or at the very least, overlooking the things which are going well. That could be a creative endeavor, how well you're doing in a certain video game. It could be you drinking a bunch of water consistently. Obviously, each of these are small things, right? And these are just examples I'm coming up with. But you've got to look for positivity and wins and improvement everywhere. Acknowledging those things and how good, how well, or even just how okay things are at any given moment is, in my eyes, a conscious choice to be content. This is why I said it was imperative for me to shift my perspective or mindset when it came to how I choose to view my success. It took me a few years to come to this realization. And while I can't believe it took so long, when I finally did recognize this change of mental perspective was necessary, it was as if everything went from dark and focused and frustrated to more relaxed while remaining driven. Success is something which exists solely in the eye of the beholder. While there are commonalities I'd imagine many would consider to be success, such as widespread notoriety or having lots of money or what have you, what looks like success to me may not sound successful to you, and that's quite all right. We're all different individuals with unique perspectives, values, and goals, and it's important to bear in mind the expectations you have for yourself, as well as how you choose to measure progress towards your goals, is fully in your control. Now, this doesn't mean aim low and strive for the bare minimum. The best possible versions of ourselves don't celebrate mediocrity. Nah, nah, nah. However, we're also not in the business of measuring our progress against others, because our health and fitness journey is something that's personal. No other living soul on planet Earth has the power to control how you choose to perceive things, and it's important to not lose sight of that. Our perception is power. And this isn't to say that other people aren't important or anything like that, right? We're social beings, regardless if we consider ourselves introverts or extroverts. And, I mean, we live in a social society, right? But our mindsets are something we have total control over. And as such, it's important to be mindful of that. Now, let's also be real, because y'all know I'm not in the business of spewing mindless positivity without being pragmatic. If you put your best foot forward every day and you're continually producing to the best of your ability, whatever that production looks like, you still may not reach your end goal as soon as you'd expect. This was something it took me a long time to come to terms with, especially as it relates to the content I produce and the financial compensation, I always struggle to say that I get from my place of work. So you can call it arrogance, being cocky, self-centered, or whatever, but deep down in the foundation of who I am as a human, I vehemently believe what I'm producing in my work, in my creative endeavors, in the gym, all of that, everything I'm producing, I believe all of that is to the best of my ability, given the circumstances I'm in that moment. This doesn't mean I'm going hard 100% of the time. That's a recipe for burnout. But consistently putting forth a level of effort equitable to the best I can produce, in conjunction with measuring my success in a manner I have total control over, has done wonders for both my mental well-being as well as my confidence and self-esteem. It's a bit of a trite saying to say, do the best you can. And because that is something repeated so frequently, I feel as if some of the core value of that statement has kind of degraded over time, at least in my eyes. However, it's something we've all heard, right? Do the best you can. And I think we're familiar with it for a reason. and it's something we should strive for consistently. Putting forth maximum effort, or at the very least, not rushing or working sloppily or overlooking details. That effort, not just, you know, blowing something off and blazing right through it, that effort can do wonders for your mental well-being if you're open to the prospect of being better than you were yesterday. I say open to the prospect of self-improvement because, again, putting forth that effort does not mean you're going to reach your goals the next day or something like that, nor will it make a difference if you approach everything with a negative frame of mind or a negative perspective. Like we just discussed, it took me a long time to come to terms with that concept because patience has never been a strong suit of mine. However, tying our goals or our self-image and our self-esteem to something outside our control, I think that's a recipe for disappointment. We've repeatedly emphasized the importance of having honest conversations with yourself. And when it comes to these large, primarily external philosophies such as respect, status, strength, love and relationships, all that kind of stuff, I think it's easy for us to pass blame onto others instead of self-reflecting. Now, this is absolutely a generalized statement or a generalized opinion on my part, but I think in general, people are quick to blame others for their failures and to praise themselves for success. Obviously, the concept of failures and successes mean different things to different people, but I think the core point of blaming others and not self-reflecting is more or less clear. This isn't to say other human beings have no impact on our self-esteem, and obviously, we need other human beings to form relationships and things like that. The goal of my encouraging y'all to reflect is to cultivate the self-awareness and, I guess, critical thinking process to bolster your self-esteem. If, for example, right, let's say you have a singular goal of running your first marathon and crossing that finish line in the upright position. So to do that, you've got to put your best foot forward in all aspects of things. Like we covered in previous episodes, I have a penchant for signing up for things at the last minute, and if there's one thing I can't stand, it's asking for help in any way, shape, or form. This meant during the first few years of my getting into running seriously, I made a litany of mistakes. I suffered a number of minor injuries, and I didn't progress in the way I felt I should have. And this was all attributable to a lack of information. And it's not to say that information wasn't out there. I just didn't seek it out actively. Now, I hesitate to use the words ignorance there due to the plethora of negative connotations, even if it really is the most appropriate word in the denotation of the dictionary. And I point this out yet again, because we can never underestimate the power of language. That's why I said lack of information and not ignorance. It's a quick sidebar, but example. I absolutely would have said I didn't progress due to my own ignorance because I know I'm using the denotation of that word and referring to myself, but I'd never say that to a client because we all know there are negative connotations or associations with that word. It's important to have empathy and never forget the power of our diction or our word choice. All right, enough of that vocabulary sidebar. To get back to the subject at hand, I could have avoided all those years of frustration that I stemmed from when I first began my health and fitness journey, or that not stemmed from, but, you know, that I encountered when I first began my health and fitness journey, if I had just put forth a greater effort. And I say effort and not work harder, because when I hear the word work, I associate that with action or activity. Now, the training plan, the amount of training I was doing, in hindsight, man, it was pretty dang solid. However, I wasn't getting much sleep. I was imbibing copious amounts of alcohol regularly, and my diet consisted of primarily fast food and other types of junk. If I had just taken a step back and put forth a bit of effort in maintaining perspective of the big picture, I would have been able to pinpoint where I was self-sabotaging my progress. However, like we've mentioned, it's hard to identify self-sabotage unless you've got a clear example you can juxtapose yourself with, you're being completely honest with yourself, and you truly want to improve. Looking back, my self-esteem plummeted, which absolutely adversely impacted my relationships with my friends, my family, my partner. It isn't the most fun to vocalize these shortcomings, and even though I realized this a few years ago and I've made the concentrated effort to prevent my headspace from slipping back into the negative, I feel as if it's important for me to surface these to serve as, hopefully, a useful example for you psychomaniac listeners. This is why, even though old Maslow has love and relationships as the foundation for self-esteem in the hierarchy of human needs, it just seems more practical to me for these to be considered almost one and the same. In my eyes, and I don't find this to be much of a stretch in logic, how we view and respect ourselves serves as the foundation for our relationship with others. Because if you don't love and respect yourself, I don't think you can love and respect your friends, your family, or anyone else. Additionally, I've always vehemently felt the effort I put forth in all things, my relationships, my conversations with my family, my creative endeavors, my job, literally everything, has a direct correlation on my self-esteem, which, of course, then greatly influences my self-confidence. Of course, I can't say if that's the same for everyone, but I see no downside to putting your best foot forward in all things if you don't allow that to influence your expectations. I can't control if come race day, I get a cramp or something like that. But if I've been training and sleeping and doing everything to the best of my ability, I'd feel much better about the end result, whatever it may be. And how I feel impacts my relationships with others. It's why even if I'm having a day, you know what I mean? I'm having a day. If I was going to meet with a client or even before walking into the door of my house, I take a moment, take a couple deep breaths and clear the head, or at least, you know, at least clean up the face a little bit. Like, don't be mean mugging, you know what I mean? Despite our best efforts, sometimes negativity is unavoidable, but we absolutely have the power to prevent that from spreading. Thus far, we've discussed the entire hierarchy of human needs Maslow came up with and how it relates to our fitness journey. We've covered physiological needs, safety, love and relationships, and our self-esteem. Now we're at the pinnacle of the hierarchy, self-actualization. Self-actualization is the top, and essentially, it means being the best version of ourselves we possibly can. Reaching our maximum potential, achieving self-fulfillment, personal growth, all that kind of personal, psychological stuff we're chasing, whether we're cognizant of it or not. You can certainly interpret these concepts however you see fit, but for the sake of brevity, because I already feel like this episode's getting kind of long, I'll provide my interpretation. To me, self-actualization just means knowing who we are. Reaching our full potential sounds nice, but what does that look like for me or for you or for anyone else? I'd hazard a guess that it just means being the best version of ourselves we possibly can be, because sometimes the simplest answer is the best one. Our goal of our health and fitness journeys is always to be better than we were yesterday, both physically and mentally. Self-awareness means many things to different people. But I define it as knowing who you are, what you're capable of, what you value, being cognizant of your needs, your limitations, and perhaps most importantly, cultivating self-confidence and critical thinking skills. We've mentioned this many times, but I absolutely believe one of the best lessons we can learn from endurance running is how to listen to our bodies. If we extend that knowledge, right? The knowledge of when we need to rest, when we can push a little harder, what's easy for us, what's a little more challenging, how much energy we have in the tank, how long we can sustain a certain pace for, what a 10-minute per mile pace feels like, right? If we can extend all of that self-awareness from our physical selves to our mind, to me, that's self-actualization and knowing who we are. Obviously, that's an imperfect metaphor, but I think the core point is clear. We say it all the time. Experience is the foundation of confidence. And I don't see how you can truly have self-confidence if you don't know yourself both physically and mentally. All too often, I see confidence isolated to only one's physical prowess or only one's life experience. But it's important for us as healthy and fit individuals, striving to be the best possible version we can be, to always remember that these two pieces make up the whole of who we are. This is the whole reason I say a marathon training cycle is one of the most important experiences a healthy and fit person can go through. I've never learned more about my personality than I did when I was at mile 13 or so of my last training run, and I got the second most filthy cramp I've ever experienced. I couldn't call a lift to pick me up, and no one was available to give me a ride, so I literally limped back to my car. It was about a 2.5 mile trek, and it took me about 2 hours. Had I known how to listen to my body in advance of that run, I could have prevented that from happening at all. But that experience of dragging myself also helped me realize I had more mental resilience than I had anticipated. Now, don't get it twisted. Never should have gotten to that point. But still, it was a useful learning experience. And even though some people might look back on that as something terrible, call me the killers because I'm trying to always find the bright side, you know? There are many aspects of knowing who we are as human beings. And I'm just a certified personal trainer who creates content. I don't pretend to be an expert on the human psyche. However, I see no downside to us trying to figure ourselves out both physically and mentally. Our journey on the road to Gainesville isn't just about getting stronger and faster, nor is it just about establishing our marathon mindsets. These two things should be something we leverage to become the best possible version of ourselves. And we want to be the best so we can not only, hopefully, obtain the things we want and do the things we want to do, but also so we can be content and secure in our own skin. Self-actualization is a fancy concept, but break it down into each contributing component, and it's easy to see how we can learn about ourselves through our health and fitness journey. In my eyes, there's no better way to invest your most valuable currency, your time, than in yourself. Before we wrap up our conversation today, I do have two, count them two, requests of you psychomaniacs. I'm never one of those content creators who say, you know, a lot of you have been asking about this or that because, I mean, that ain't me. That's why whenever I do a YouTube video, I'm not talking like I'm trying to be a reporter when I'm trying to break down Easter eggs because that's not real and that ain't me. But that being said, over the past couple weeks, I have had about 6, maybe 8 people on social and during a couple live streams on Twitch request we do a Q&A type episode. While some have requested, I think 3 or 4 people had requested a live stream or like a video episode on YouTube, given the format of our little corner of the internet and my own schedule, I'd prefer it if it just be a regular audio episode. And I'm certainly open to gathering questions and then dedicating a full conversation to addressing them. I always mention in our closing that you can send any potential questions to me directly on social media. But, I mean, if you have any questions, I'd request you shoot them to me via email at podcast@truebros.com. And I'll compile them. And hopefully, we can get a Q&A episode on the calendar in a month or 6 weeks or something like that. Feel free to send any questions to the email or just send them to me on social media. My second ask, you psychomaniac, is our annual St. Jude fundraiser is coming up in a month or couple months. So I'm requesting you set aside a few bucks in the cookie jar. I don't care if it's $1, $5, $500, $3,000. Anything and everything is appreciated. Because as y'all know, that's the one time of year I'm actively making requests of those who are so generous enough to spend some time listening to our conversations here. On that note, I appreciate you spending some time with me today. And I hope you're seeing what I see, that truly anyone can run. We try to drop new episodes every other workout Wednesday, so make sure you smash that subscribe button. If you've ever got questions or ideas for a topic or questions for a potential Q&A episode, feel free to hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at AnyoneCanRunPod or at TrueBros with no E, because as y'all know, I ain't extra. If you need more gains, do me a solid and pound that subscribe button on YouTube, as I'm typically dropping 2 videos a week on Mondays and Thursdays, or if you just want to support the show. It also helps when you leave a quick rating and review in your podcast app of choice to help us dominate the charts. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Anyone Can Run podcast, and if you did, don't forget to pound that subscribe button. If you didn't enjoy it, well, you get what you pay for. And either way, I look forward to seeing you on the road to Gainesville.